You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Good morning. Our theme at Mission Creek Alliance for the past while has been, "Let Peter be your pastor." And today we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. So read with me. Peter writes to the church saying, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And to the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. A stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises to him who called you out of darkness and into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of the Lord for us today. Now, this scripture is so rich. There's so much to it. It's so deep. But in order to really get the richness of it, I want us to contemplate the author and his journey and this idea of stones and cornerstones and the rock. So this morning, remember when DC went through that whole Origins phase? They did, you know, X-Men Origins, they did Wolverine Origins. And so this morning, we're gonna do Peter Origins, Origins of the Rock. So I'm gonna present to you this morning a sort of Origins film of my own creation. And I'm gonna walk you through it. So I ask that you would be gracious and allow me a little bit of artistic license, some director's license this morning, as I just fill your imaginations and paint the picture of how we came to 1 Peter chapter 2. So if you would allow me just for a few to take over the screen of your imagination, follow along with me. Our opening, this is the origin story of Peter the Rock. All right, scene one. We open our narrative with loud noises. The light is bright. The action shots are quick. We hear the sound of chickens and cows and metal against rock, and the screen pans over and we see that we are in the temple courts. And there is Jesus, and he's got this whip, and he is running about driving people out of the courts. We are in John chapter 2. A violent first scene to this origin stories. And you can look over and you can see how the disciples, they're following their leader. They're getting right into it. The sons of thunders are flipping tables of money changers over. And Judas is running around pocketing a few of the coins into his purse himself when nobody's looking. Peter is right in there following the example of Jesus. And he's hitting the backs of the goats and getting them to stampede out. There's quick action shots. It's all a flurry. And then we see entering into the scene come the religious leaders themselves. And they cry out above the din towards Jesus, this rogue, this rebel teacher who is sweating and panting full of adrenaline. They stop him and say to this ruffian teacher, they say, "What sign can you show to prove your authority to do all of this?" And Jesus, still panting from the exertion, looks up. We zoom in on his face. You see right into his eyes as he responds to the teachers, and he says to them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days."
Jesus continues to walk off to the right, throws his whip down, and we see him exit the courts. And we just see in the background Peter standing there, hands still gripping a table, about to flip it over. He just heard. He'd overheard what Jesus had said to the teachers. He didn't know what it meant yet. But we just witness him witness Jesus speak these mysterious words of destroying the temple. Cut to black. Our next scene opens up, Matthew 16. Now this time it's a much quieter mood. We're gonna have dimmer lighting. Actually, the only light we can see is it starts to pan open, and all you can see are the faces of Jesus and his disciples, and it's just illuminated by the flickering light of a fire. They all sit around the fire, and you can tell by their body language that they're all quite tired from a day of teaching and arguing with religious leaders. Jesus had spent the whole day defending himself and defending his message. So you can hear the background noise. There's the crackling of the wood for the fire. And I'm gonna interplay in here a soundtrack of just really quiet cello music. Just in the background, just for context, because we're going to tie it in later. And so with cello music in the background, low mood, low lighting, panning the faces around, you stop and Jesus, he looks around at his disciples, and with tiredness in his voice, he asks them, "Who do the people say that I am?" And a couple of them answer, they go, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. Oh, some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." You see Jesus nod, acknowledge this. His eyes are sort of lowered, looking at his feet, looking into the fire. And after a few moments, and as that cello music in the background just swells, he looks up at his disciples with an intensity and a vulnerability in his eyes. And he says, "And who do you say that I am?" Camera pans over to Peter, who's there, and he's tired from the day, and he stretches, and so sort of nonchalantly, he says, "Oh, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Son of God." Flashback to Jesus. Zoom in on his face. You see this intensity in his eyes, and in there, there's this joy. The cello music gets louder and louder in this big crescendo because this is highlighting a big moment, a moment where Peter acknowledged who he was. "I know who you are. I know who you are. You're the Son of God." And so in this moment now, Jesus, touched by his answer, he now looks to Peter, and he says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And now I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Because everybody knows that Peter means rock. You can see the camera pan in as this guy who was previously called Simon is named Peter. We zoom in onto his eyes. You can see the reflection of the firelight as Peter's eyes just widen a little bit in awe of what's just happened. He's just been renamed the Rock. You see Peter just blink. And as he blinks, the scene switches, and we end up in Mark chapter 13. Again, we're going from dark to light, so now bright lights, bright scene, noises of the city. We see Jesus and his disciples coming out of the temple this time. Again, they're tired after a day of arguing. You can tell by their body posture. The story goes that Jesus was leaving the temple and all kind of tired from the day, and one of the disciples, you know, wanting to bring up the mood, he pokes Jesus, and he gets him to turn around and look back at the temple they just exited out of, and he says, "Teacher, what architecture. Look at these massive stones. Look at these huge rocks. Look at these magnificent buildings." We look at Jesus. Jesus slowly turns around to look at these massive stones. But instead of being high energy like his disciples instead, Jesus just says, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone is going to be left on top of another. Every one of them is going to be thrown down." And then he just turns and walks off scene. End scene. Okay. Next scene pops up, Luke 22. Again, dim lighting. Dim but cheery, okay? So they've got some good filter over it to make it look very positive. So we find ourselves watching Jesus and his disciples. They're in an upper room. You can tell it's dark outside, but there's lots of candlelight inside. There's happy music. We've got violins going, a plucky little tune. They're eating, they're celebrating. You can hear the ambient noises of glasses and silverware and people laughing and talking as you do at a good dinner party. So this was the night of the cup, and this was the night of the bread. Now, in the midst of all this ambient noise and happiness and conversation, the camera zooms in on a private conversation. You see Jesus and Peter together. Now, this is odd because Jesus actually uses Peter's old name. He says to him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and that when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." We see Peter then lean in closely, a pained expression on his face, and in all sincerity, but sort of quietly so others can't overhear this, he says, "Lord, I'm ready to go to prison, and I'm ready to go to death for you." Jesus looked at Peter with this kind sadness on his face. And in a hushed tone, he says, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you're going to deny three times that you even know me." Scene fades to black. Scene 5, Luke 22, farther down, verse 54. Firelight again. Scene opens, and again, just like scene 3, we're going to tie these together, just like scene 3, it starts with panning around faces illuminated by firelight. Except these aren't the familiar faces of the disciples we're looking at. Now it's the stranger faces of servants. And they're standing around a fire in a courtyard, and continues to pan around until there's one face that the audience does recognize. It's the face of Peter. And he's standing there with a look on his face that goes beyond words. It's a despondence, it's worry, it's nervousness, it's fear, it's panic on his face, but all trying to be hidden. And he stands there, and then we catch the eyes of another face across the fire. That same cello music playing in the background from scene 3. Low, melodious, contemplative. And what breaks through the sound of this low cello music is the sound of a young servant girl's voice. She speaks to Peter, and she says, "This man, he was with him." Oh, Peter gets nervous. You see his eyes dart back and forth, zoom up close to his face, and nervous, he dismisses the girl and just says, "Woman, I don't know him." You pan around. You can tell that time goes on. A little while later, someone else saw Peter and said, "Hey, you're a Galilean. You're one of them," meaning one of Jesus' disciples. And now we notice in the background, we can hear the crackling of the fire, we can hear that cello music, but there's another noise that we can hear in the background that if the audience is listening, they know what it is, because we can hear the sound of whips and screams coming over the wall from behind them. We know those are the sounds of Jesus. Peter's voice comes, "No, I don't know the man. I tell you, I don't know him." Pans around. Time goes on. You can tell because the fire dims and it's lower now, perfectly playing into the mood for the scene. And under the really low fire, Peter and those still there come in real close to get close to the warmth of it. Cello music goes to a crescendo. As one more time, someone looks at Peter and says, "No, you are one of them." The music gets loud. The tension rises. It zooms in on Peter's face as he says, "I am not." And we can see nothing but Peter's eyes when the sound of a rooster crowing pierces through the scene, quickly followed by the sound of the snap of a whip and a scream. Peter's eyes go wide at the realization of what he's just said. We see him blink, and the scene cuts to black. There's a long transition, a good few moments where the screen is just black. And then when it comes to light again, we're in Luke 23:9. The scene opens to Peter sitting in a room with the other disciples. The mood is subdued. Body posture's despondent. You can feel the shame and the depression hanging in the air. When suddenly, the door opens, and as it opens, light floods the room, and you can see the dust in the air is illuminated by the light, and these women come in, and costumes, they'll get them all wearing lots of bright colors to show this scene of light coming into the room, and life and vibrancy and color, and the women come in, and they announce to the disciples that Jesus was alive, and that they had seen angels, and the angels had told them about it, but that the tomb was empty. Their joyous exuberance falls on deaf ears and is met with just scoffing laughter from the disciples, who completely dismiss the voices of the women. The camera goes over and you see Peter, though. And Peter, not saying a word, simply jumps up and runs out the door. And now this exciting music plays as we follow Peter down the path as he runs to the tomb. He runs to the tomb. He makes it there. He sees that the giant stone that had been in front of the entrance of the tomb had rolled away. And he goes and he sticks his head right into the tomb and sees nothing but cloth. And then the camera pans out as Peter comes stumbling out of the tomb. And then he's overcome by his emotion. We see him sit down, fall down onto the ground beside the tomb. He leans against the giant stone and he just weeps. And as he weeps, he says, "I know him. I know him. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. I know him. I know him." And we're going to take a drone and we're just going to zoom out into the sky as we watch Peter weep. We'll go up into the sky, and then when we come back down, we come back down to a beach on the lake with fishermen in a boat. Marcus preached right from this last week on Easter. The scenes were familiar, so I'm just going to read it. John 21. Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was, so he called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw your net to the right side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. He jumped in the water and he headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net into the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net wasn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he'd been raised from the dead. Now after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know that I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. And a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. And when he says, you know everything, it's this hidden acknowledgement of, you know that I denied you three times. You heard that rooster crow. You know everything. And you know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And as Marcus preached about last week, this is where we see the reinstitution of Peter being the rock. His new name, owning it. And then the last thing that Jesus says in that scene is he looks at Peter after doing some predictions about the future, and he says, Peter, follow me. And then our final scene begins. And this scene is unlike the others. This is a montage because we see Peter with those final words hanging in the air of follow me. And he gets up and then we see him go and he travels where he's supposed to travel. And he goes and we see the day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit comes down and Peter preaches the message of his life. And 3,000 come to know the Lord and they choose to follow as well. And then we see him packing a bag. We see him being prayed for. We see him setting off to the different nations, and we watch this montage scene of him preaching and healing and baptizing and preaching and healing and baptizing with this exciting music in the background and this light and different action shots. And then we see as he goes, it builds and builds and builds, and more people choose to follow. And as it goes, you can see that there's it starts with just a room with a couple people. And then maybe he'll show them another room with a half full room full of people. And then it'll go to another scene. And now there's a room packed with people. And then there's another scene where he's standing on a big rock preaching to an entire city. And you can just see the crowds grow and grow to the point where he now has to communicate with them. And so you see these scenes of him sitting down in a room writing letters and sending them. And the letters go off to the different cities. And you see these letters being passed to all those different rooms from those different scenes in the montage, and you get this idea of how the church has just grown. Here, he writes 1 Peter chapter 2, and in this, he takes all those things he witnessed before. All those times Jesus talked about the temple and about the rock and the stone that the builders rejected, and his own calling. Peter takes all that and he writes this beautiful piece. Peter writes to the church, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Because in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But for those who don't believe, the stone that the builders rejected, it's going to become the cornerstone. And the stone that causes people to stumble and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they're destined for. But you are a chosen people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What Peter is doing here is saying that as soon as I confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, as soon as I understood that he was the cornerstone, I became a stone. And you are all living stones. We're all stones. And as you come to him, the living stone, you also are like living stones. Because Peter understood that Jesus rejected the temple, rejected the old covenant, rejected the corruption in it and tore it down. And in the death of his own body, as he laid down into the earth, it was like the laying down of a cornerstone that would set the foundation for the new temple, for the new covenant, for the new church. And Jesus, laying his life down as that cornerstone, says, Peter, come follow me, the rock. And Peter chooses to follow and also lay his life down right beside Jesus, butted up right against that cornerstone. And then Peter says, you also come and follow, and you lay your life down, and you lay your life down, and you lay your life down. And together, set on the foundation of the cornerstone, we are all being built into the new temple, into the new covenant. We are all being built into the church. Jesus is the cornerstone of the new covenant. He called Peter his rock, and then Peter went out and invited everybody else to become living stones, that we may be built into a spiritual house together. This is nothing that you can do on your own, and has everything to do with laying our lives down together to build the spiritual house that God's Spirit dwells in. That's your invitation this morning.